Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 485 of This Week in League.
I'm Nate. And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
What is happening, boys? Glenny, it's been ages since I've spoken to you. But
it feels like it, mate. It feels like I just miss you so much.
It feels like ages since I spoke to you, and it feels like we spoke for about fucking 6 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
Because holy shit.
That was a cunt.
The trenches you've been in together.
Oh, no, really. We just wanted to... We were secretly hoping each of us would drown the other just to put us out of our fucking misery.
Look, I don't want to overstate it, but like recently, as part of my ongoing, you know, work from home situation where I have like two monitors and the second monitor usually has like a TV series or something going the whole time to occupy my brain while I'm working. Recently, I've back to back did fucking Band of Brothers and the subsequent The Pacific.
Yes.
And I am, and I don't feel like I'm exaggerating to say that what Glennie and I went through yesterday is probably worse than people involved in both conflicts, frankly. And that's what it felt like. It felt longer. Like if you remember Band of Brothers, like, you know, when they're doing the Battle of the Bulge part,
yeah,
and dug it in the snow. That's what it felt like yesterday. That's what it felt like. It was a cold winter's day.
just like the Pacific. I can imagine Glenny like crawling out of a hut 40 years from now with his Tigers jersey all tattered. No one's told him the season's over.
No one's told him that they're
still undefeated, cats.
No one's told him that it's 3 decades since they went to Perth and fucking 2 decades since they folded.
No. The chairs in the stadium fell down. They sued your club into oblivion.
That is true. And who, I don't know who was it with the quote.
Lee? Those 2 points from that Cowboys game.
Was it Lee with the quote, or was it Pasco? And they said that it was like a third world stadium or something.
Lee. Jesus. Lee Hag, as I like to call him.
Hey, shout out to a potential new listener, my man from Costco. Was at Costco today, and I ran into what could only be described as Dennis Rodman's son.
I know the guy.
Yeah,
I know the guy.
He's tattoos up and down.
He's a Lakers
down
fan.
His arms. Right, is you okay? Because he's got a southern. He sounds like he's from the south.
Yep.
And he's like tattoos all up and down his arms. You know, like flamboyant.
Yeah,
jewelry and like, you know, diamond earring and everything. Yeah. Like, I swear he's short.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean, but otherwise he looked like he could be Dennis Rodman's son.
That's it.
I was wearing the hoodie today, and he's you know, I'm not going to do the, you know, trying to do the accent or anything, but he's like, where'd you get that hoodie from, man? Like, and I'm going, oh, it's actually a podcast I do. He goes, oh, for real? And he pulls out a bit of paper. He goes, write down what it is. I'm going to throw you a like, and I'm going to subscribe, because you know how it is. Like, we know what it's like over in the States, man. Like, everyone's got a shot, you know, everyone's trying to get after it, and, you know, and every bit of support helps and everything. So write it down what it is. And so I did. And, you know, if he's listening,
man, I'll
thanks
tell
for the
you
great
what.
Sir. Thanks for the stellar service there at Costco.
I'll tell you what, man, that dude's fucking great. Right? In so much as I will purposefully stand a couple of trolleys extra in the line
just to get him
his checkout.
Yeah.
Because that's a fucking good, like, 2 or 3 minutes. Because, you go to Costco, like, we stock up, you know?
Yeah.
But there was one, and he said that it was, I was wearing a very clean Sixers hat.
Right.
And I said, yeah, that's not the one that I fucking throw on the ground and stomp on. And this was pre the fucking Harden trade.
This is when Ben Simmons was still taking
that's
shots.
It. and he's a Lakers fan. So,
right.
The Lakers had a pretty miserable season that year. So, Yeah, fucking shout out to the freshest guy in Costco. Talks basketball with you every night. Nice.
Yeah. It was funny because the guy before he didn't say anything to the guy before, and I was like, what's this guy going to be like? And then he was, and then after we walked out, I was with my daughter, and she's going, oh, he was friendly. yeah, legend.
I'll tell you what, I had one of those moments on the weekend that you can only dream of in life, and it's made me rethink my entire fucking opinion on prayer circles and God, and all of that stuff. Not so much what Manly players think, but just on the existence of a higher power.
I was going to say, you just come over super homophobic.
No, no. I'm talking about the higher power, not the fucking the low IQs. Driving back from the Gold Coast, about to get on the highway, and like I drive a diesel four-wheel drive. It's not exactly a fucking speed machine. And
tell you, it's a fucking expense machine at the moment.
Oh yeah, not cheap.
As someone else who drives a diesel fucking vehicle, Jesus Christ.
I know. I'm ready for fucking Desert Storm 3.0 to bring my prices down. Fuck me. But coming onto the highway, and there was a guy in a fucking Mercedes with the super personalized number plates.
Okay.
That I think alluded to the fact that he was a QC.
Right.
So whether that stood for something else or whether it was a lawyer or whatever the fuck they are. And he is so far up my ass, I'm thinking of getting him to check for cavities.
Yeah.
Like so far up my ass. And so I'm like, well, you know what? I'm not an irresponsible fuckhead, so I won't brake check you, but I'm just going exactly as fast as I need to go to get on here and to merge at 100. And then I'm going to get over and just fucking continue on. You fucking do you. You just sit up there as much as you want. Whatever happens, happens. And so then he's done that thing where he's fucking like cut across three other people and all the fucking lanes, got in the right-hand lane and fucking floored it. There's another car in the right-hand lane and he's up their ass too. Just fucking so far up there. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, look at this fucking clown. And you tried the whole thing of, oh, look, you know, maybe his kid's in the hospital and he has to go and get there and da-da-da-da-da. No, still a fuckhead.
Still you want to reach your destination, though, mate.
And so then he's done the same thing. The guy in front of him's moved over and he's just revved up to the next car in front, sat up that guy's ass as well. And I'd forgotten about him. He'd moved off out of sight. Yeah, you know, I reckon he was clocking 160 to something up the highway. And then traffic sort of slows down for a bit. And I can see someone pulled over in the right-hand lane. And so it slows down, but it's moving around him. And we're there, and M's going, oh, my God. Oh, has he been busted? Has he been busted? Has he been busted? And no, he hadn't been fucking busted. He'd set up the ass of the wrong guy, and someone had fucking brake-checked him. And he blinked. And the front of his fucking Mercedes was folded all the way in and out of this big fucking Porsche four-wheel drive was stepping out a very heavily tattooed Gold Coast occupant in a singlet. So
yeah, that sort of karma doesn't happen nearly enough.
Oh, I'm going to fucking hold on to that moment. And that little beep-beep I gave him as I went past and him locking eyes with me.
That makes everything worth it. There's nothing better than slowing down after they get busted or something like that and winding your window down.
Fucking Ricky Stewart and letting wishes them know he had that closure.
Oh,
fucking brilliant.
Lovely. Now, obviously, there'll be more about that on Wednesday night, which will be great because the actual penalties and everything will be concreted in. I mean, we have heard that it's looking like 20 grand and a week suspension for Ricky. But that'll be concreted in probably by Wednesday, so we can actually talk about it in a bit more detail. And, you know, it gives time for more details to come out as well. The way that this show works and the way that the Rugby League gods, you know, give us what we need for episodes, I'm certain that there'll be fucking Super 8 video of Jamin Salmon doing whatever he did a decade ago that some parent took with a fucking handy cam. And that'll be on the internet in 48 hours, so we'll be able to see exactly what it was and talk about it in more detail. Although, let's be honest, I mean, you know, Ricky's 100% wrong, and there's not
like,
much
to change about that. Unless fucking Super 8 handy cam footage of Ricky's kid being black and 12-year-old Jamin burning a cross on his front lawn emerges, I'm not sure it's appropriate for Ricky to hold on to it.
Yeah, but you know, then there's also like there's that sort of power dynamic thing as well, where he's a fucking long tenured NRL coach, using his forum to fucking talk about a kid who's just barely played, so like, you know, anyway. But I will say,
Hate to Ricky, love the chaos,
love chaos, and Ricky Stewart is one of the premier fucking chaos agents in the NRL. And I am, and because he doesn't coach my team or any of our teams, just give that man a mic and fucking let him work. Like, and also, it does not affect me at all, except for enjoyment.
But the other thing is, though, we also don't have that risk of him actually ever achieving anything ever again.
Yeah. So it's very safe.
Yeah, 100%. So
very enjoyable, very safe.
So it's not like it's going to be, oh fuck, this is Craig Bellamy going off the deep end. Like, So yes.
Yeah, and then he uses that hatred just to fuel a fucking fuel a championship reign by his next side or whatever. Yeah, Ricky's. I mean, he'll use it to blow things up more than fucking build. That's how he goes. Now round 21. Let's go to the results. Thursday night football. We kicked off with the Sydney Roosters 34 defeating the Brisbane Broncos 16. Much to all of our surprise, because I'm pretty sure we all went Broncos on this one.
Yeah, we did.
The Roosters 34 came through a double to Nat Butcher. Tries also to Paul Momorowski, Angus Crichton, Luke Keary, Joseph Suwali. Walker 5 off 6 conversions. The Broncos 16 tries to Kurt Capewell and a double to Corey Oates with 2 conversions to Reynolds.
At least for 1 week, I think I was wrong about the Roosters. They completely owned the Broncos in the opening exchanges of this game and took full control and never looked troubled. They spent 60 minutes in second gear, and overall, I think it was pretty impressive.
That's the part that is the weird part, though. I mean, and is the 2022 Roosters-ish part of the game, whereas they looked at the start like better than they've probably looked at any point in the season. But they still had that long tract of time where
they're just literally going through the
bang average Roosters that we've seen this year as well at times. But yeah, like Broncos, is the air getting let out of the tires?
Are they going to
fucking slow down towards the end of the season? Has it all been too much? Lack of experience.
I think we need more evidence than just this game, but I think they definitely should.
What about the week before when they lost to the West fucking Tigers?
Yeah, well, they were completely dominated by a
class
team.
This is two games now, Glenny. 2 games and a hard run home, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. So, they surely have got plenty of improving to be amongst the real contenders, and I'm not sure the Roosters can maintain the level that they showed when they were on fire in this game to be one of those contenders, but they showed Brisbane where they need to be. And Brisbane have shown on several occasions that they can match it, but it's about doing it when it counts. And if you're starting to put these sort of performances together, as you say, Nate, back to back, when we're really starting to get to the pointy end of the season and head into the finals, they've got to turn that around.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing for the Broncos is it's their defense that started to let them down. Like they still looked fairly slick in attack, and they've still got players out there that are very fucking dangerous, you know, wherever they are on the field. Reynolds is still going to manage the game for them for the rest of the season. But it's in those effort areas, and especially in defense where they let themselves down. There wasn't a time in this game. One thing the Broncos were really good at this year compared to other years were those lock-in periods, and you see the good teams do it. All of a sudden, there's a great kick, and Reynolds gives you more opportunities to do this than most. You know, there's a fucking cracking kick. It's in a corner or on the goal line, and it pulls up just outside. And they're forced to work it away. And you can just tell everyone in that line is just like, righto, boys, everything you got, five tackles. Pin them in their 20. And that can turn the momentum in a game. And if you can do that a couple of sets in a row, you can break a lot of teams. But the defensive Broncos displayed this week and last week isn't up to the standard they had in the middle of the season. And I think that's probably the frustrating part, if I'm a Broncos fan, is that they had an opportunity to bounce back. There was a game they should have won and got thoroughly beaten, and they didn't take the opportunity to answer the critics.
Fair point.
Anything else you want to say on that?
No, not me.
Not particularly. I mean, they've got the Broncos should split their games coming down the home stretch there. But depending on what they do with those games, you know, coming to the last four games of the season, depends whether they're going to be, you know, one and done in the finals.
Yeah.
Finishing like as, you know, probably, you know, potentially as low as eighth. I mean, I guess potentially they could finish out of the finals, but I don't see it happening. But yeah, I mean, could be as low as eight, or they could, you know, get themselves up to.
I did see something on Reddit today where someone had gone in and like they'd done every potential outcome of how high they or how low teams can finish.
Yep.
A little bit of it was misleading because obviously there's some teams that, yeah, sure, they could finish as low as, but they're not going to lose to the Titans and the Warriors and the fucking
Knights. Yeah, like the Broncos could easily finish ninth or 10th, provided teams underneath win all their games lose all their games.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, realistically, the Broncos, despite the way they're going, I mean, I think they've got the Knights covered you know, coming up this week.
Yep.
And that should be enough to get them home.
Yeah, spot on. Spot on.
Unless they take some absolute fucking floggings.
Joshua in the Facebook group said, Bronx got to learn some defense if they want to win this. Roosters jogging through the line. Claire, did anybody else see JWH and Radley spraying Sam Walker after that try? Yikes.
Yeah. Rugby League World loved it too.
Fuck yeah.
Apparently Robbo loved it as well.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Look, if it's fucking deserved, I think, you know, I don't think the Roosters... anyone should really have, certainly within the Roosters organisation, should have a problem with it.
And we've, you know, we've had our say about JWH and what he does, but it's vastly different him criticising someone, especially in an attacking play, than the, you know, Gutho screaming at Sivo after fucking he blindly missed someone.
Mm. You know, so, yeah, exactly.
Alexander, oh, legend of a guy. He said, "Sorry, I'm late, boys. I was busy upvoting every comment shitting on Tezzy on Reddit."
That is funny. I think I replied to him, but it is funny with Tezzy New where he came out in the media like the week before last when all the stuff was going on with Reece Walsh coming over to the Broncos next year, and he came out and said, "I'm ready to, you know, I'm ready to make, you know, it doesn't worry me that Reece Walsh is coming over. I'm here to stamp my fucking name on that number one jersey." And I'm like, fucking mate, you're not even number one before Reece Walsh even comes over. Tamari Martin's fucking had you all season, mate. Like, and the only reason he's not going to have you next year is because they're swapping him for Reece Walsh. And he's not going to be at the fucking club anymore.
Oh, God. Jason said, "Victor's jersey looks like the rear windscreen of Vincent Vega's car."
He was gushing a bit, wasn't he?
Fuck, wasn't he?
Tristan. A bad one.
Yeah.
He said, "I reckon I could fill a schooner quicker out of Radley's cut than out of a tap. Love to see some claret."
Yeah. I mean, the uncharitable people would say that he's a cunt and it was his time of the month, but...
Cruzy. He said, "Bunch of peanuts. Go back to Q Cup, most of you twats."
I tell you, Cruzy's fucking been enjoying this season as a Broncos fan, but geez, he turns quick.
Doesn't he?
I was going to say...
Turns quick.
Like, this performance was objectively better than anything you've dished up for the last 2 years.
Yeah, more or less.
Fucking hell. Yes, there you go.
That entitled Broncos fan base attitude.
To me, that's a guy that...
Oh, God. It's like 2 years, there's absolute amnesia. Yeah. They have a season where they're in the eight for the majority of the season, and all of a sudden they've forgotten the last fucking 2 years.
That is. That's Come on. That's a guy that buys $14 milkshakes for his son. 5 years ago.
That was a long time
when
ago.
When shit was cheap. Too.
I was going to say, that was a long fucking time ago. What a pull.
I'm hanging on like Ricky.
Like it's literally a joke for like you, me, and him. And his son. I mean, that's...
Who's probably now 21.
Yeah. And even he's looking back now, he's got to go out there and earn a living for himself. He's like, God damn, what were you buying me $15 milkshakes for? Could have had a life. Could have had a car, man.
Investments, Dad.
Now I've got to eat these fucking baby ducks.
Could have had fully fucking grown duck to eat.
Exactly. I could have sold those ducks.
Could have had picking duck instead of this fucking half-formed balut, yeah. All right, Friday, the pub slot game. The Melbourne Storm 32 defeated the Titans 14 down at Amy Park. Where else? The Storm had 32 points by virtue of a hat-trick to Cameron Munster. Coates, Bromwich and Young Tonomapea with tries, Munster four conversions. The Titans 14 tries to Firma, SSE and Brian Kelly with Tanner Boyd, one conversion. As we continued, incomplete round or fucking inconsistent round, where another team come out of the blocks, looked fucking lethal, and what they shot out to, what, 16-0?
Yeah.
In a matter of minutes, and looked like they were going to absolutely fucking annihilate the Titans.
Yep.
And then we sit back into what was, again, like, a thoroughly unenjoyable,
yeah,
weird fucking grind.
Still, obviously, work to be done in Melbourne, and I feel like a couple of the kinks were ironed out, but certainly not enough to put them back on the same pedestal that they enjoyed for much of the early and mid part of the season. There, I wouldn't say by any stretch of the imagination that they're out of the slump or the funk that they're in. And one real positive, obviously, Munster. I thought he was outstanding, delivered some big moments, which ultimately were the difference in the game. I scored a hat-trick. And so Storm, whilst not dominant from start to finish, and as I said, still plenty of work to be done.
Yeah.
I guess they dispatched the Titans without really getting out of fucking third gear.
Yeah. It's very reminiscent of that, of the Roosters game, though. Like they, like if you had have polled me after the first 30 minutes of those two games.
Yeah, 80-0.
I would have been very bullish on fucking the rest of the season for the Roosters and the finals prospects for the Roosters. And also I would have been saying, oh, yeah, look, the Storm, look, they're back.
Yeah.
Right, despite the fact that we were saying, you know, it's the worst back line they've ever trotted out. They did make a number of changes, though, to that back line before kickoff. But and it didn't really resemble at all what it was on Wednesday when we were reading the team list. Yeah. But despite that, they still looked amazing. And then looked less than amazing for almost every minute thereafter. And it was really just by virtue of that hat trick to Cameron Munster that they beat the Titans.
Exactly.
Like, and his just overall performance in the game. I mean, because they didn't show a lot after that opening salvo.
Correct.
Well, yeah, you're probably right, Nate. And it's also, like the Roosters game, a case of the opposition determined the outcome more so than any team being great or being back. You know, if that Roosters team had beat that top four quality Broncos side that we saw earlier in the year, you'd be much more confident about the Roosters. Just like if the Storm had actually put a sword through one of the other contenders.
Was that being the Storm? They'd beaten that top quality Gold Coast Titans team of...
Up to round never. Two of the finals.
Like literally never in the history of the franchise.
Oh, man, they were one pass away from beating the Roosters in the finals last year.
Yeah, but they only got in there by virtue of that fucking Warriors that game in the last round, yeah. And everything too. I mean, they Bradbury'd into the finals. They almost Bradbury'd into the second round of the there finals, except the cunt got up before you got out of the finish. <That's>
What do we have there? Chris, you said you can take the Noffa out of Tiger Town, but you can't take the Tiger Town out of Noffa. What do you think of his debut for a first-grade club, Glennie?
Oh, look, he finished the game with a smile on his face, which you don't see often.
And honestly, it was just a fairly quiet performance. Nothing really went down his side that much, to be honest. And, yeah. You know, the Titans were all playing down the left, and so it just wasn't really. I mean, you know, the Storm are scoring tries down the right, and the Titans are scoring tries down the left, and so it's just kind of he was out there watching the game.
This is the greatest indication of just how poorly coached the Titans are.
Yeah, that's it, eh?
Yeah, David Knopfler will play his first game for the club and they don't run any plays down his side.
But it's even that thing of, well, okay, yeah, take the Knopfler jokes out of it. You're absolutely right, though, there, Glenn. Take all the Knopfler jokes out of it. Any player comes in and it's, oh, yeah, this guy's been with them for a week.
This guy's had three training sessions with them, probably.
Let's test him out.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything goes,
and also with the shuffling of the back line that they'd done as well. In yeah. other, because young Tom Mapea only came in, and like his coats, they only came in after Wednesday last week.
That's it.
So,
Sharky Dave, he said the Storm are done. Stick a fork in them. Won't make the third week. Tend to agree, John.
It's hard to declare. You know, for a certainty that they won't, because you've just got to look at, you know, some of the things
once they get into the finals,
not much.
You know,
yeah,
once they get into the finals, they'll have a different mentality. Yeah, they will. I feel.
And like Munster is that freakish of a talent.
He's one of those players, you know, like a Cleary or whatever. If he's on the field in a big game, the opposition is focusing extremely heavily on him.
Yeah.
And no matter what form he's in, despite the fact that he's in the outstanding form. So
the only caveat I'll put in is they do need Hughes as well to be there. They can't lose another piece out there because if it becomes a situation where they can focus strictly on Munster, then
they're gone.
Yeah, then it becomes another thing. Yeah.
John said Storm never looked like they were going to win, except their opposition had other plans. Lucky escape. Levi. He said, Fifita showing the haters why he's on the big money. Some tough try-saving efforts and big moments when needed. Oh, no, wait. That wasn't David. It was Jojo. Disregard. Cunt is a dud. Michael said, hashtag Stormsageddon. This is why I love rugby. Even with the umpire against us all season, we jag an important win against a tough side. Bring out the cold brew soy decaf lattes. Oh, he's the greatest Storm fan ever.
That's my favourite Storms fan for sure.
Fucking hell, here we are.
Who's obviously not a Storms fan at all, but it was a bang on. It was a bang on impersonation.
Maybe he's the truest.
He's probably more authentic than any other Storms fan I've ever encountered.
It's the way I like to picture them in my head. They're all like that, except for that fucking orange menace. The Parramatta Eels 36 defeat the Mighty Manly Seagulls 20 at Brookvale in front of what they say was a sellout crowd of 17-1-3-4. The Eels had a double to Micah Sivo and also tries to Pinacini, Blake, Opacek, and Gutherson.
So fucking juvenile, but right up there with Frank Pinacini.
I don't know.
Like, gets me every time.
My best friend in grade 5 was David Panisi, and I mean, so like, I'm still holding on to fucking jokes from back then.
Dude, what was that thing one of the guys put in the group chat the other day? Like, in baseball, they fucking make fun of all the players' names. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's some guy whose last name, what do they say, sounded like an egg or something.
Yeah, what was his fucking? Yeah,
like they
made a joke like eggs over easy, and so they started talking about eggs.
Yeah, they literally made egg jokes about all the fucking.
I think
players.
baseball is kind of that's the mechanism via which baseball will rise again as a spectator sport. I think because they're like very very far below like NBA and NFL, that sort of social gear.
Yeah.
Well, is what's gonna get things ignited again.
As it should be, as we all know, fucking triangle cricket can fuck right off.
I couldn't remember what you called it last. I couldn't remember what you called it last time. I mean, you know,
like
you could say
punchy,
you could
punchy,
say you cuddle. Could say diamond. You could say diamond cricket because I mean, you know, there's four bases.
Well, two triangles just, is a diamond.
I'm just so. Trying to. I'm just trying to get your sledges accurate. You know, because you know
double triangle cricket.
Because you know that the baseball fan will come at you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like probably. I mean,
there's
probably one that listens
but you know
to
what?
This show, maybe two, Max.
They're only allowed to run a certain amount at one time, so I reckon I'm pretty fucking safe.
How many punchy punchy cuddle fans came at you or spinny tights fans came at you fucking fucking ignorant cunt.
Yeah.
Oh, wait till I call soccer singy singy nothing ball.
Yeah, that one I can get behind. Fucking triangle cricket.
Yeah, triangle cricket.
This cunt.
I'd make it the title of the episode, but I just don't want to fucking encourage it. You know, like, I don't want to reinforce it. I don't want to reinforce this kind of behaviour.
There's no fucking 2020 teams with a caricature of an Indigenous Australian as their fucking mascot.
Yeah, but that doesn't exist anymore either. They've changed that.
Yeah, but we didn't even have that. Like, we're pretty fucking racist. Like, we did some
evil. I mean, we did have that. I mean, the rugby league community, I mean, we did have that field out Ipswich way that was like, you know, that was like named some guy, you know.
N-word.
It was legitimately like like Ray N-word Brown or whatever his name was, Royal, yeah. Like, I mean.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking out there.
Oh, yeah, no, that's bad.
and that only got changed like far too recently.
Yeah, true.
Like, so I think that's a bit, you know, that's potentially more offensive than Chief Wahoo on a hat.
Yeah, but a suburban ground in the most racist place in the country, you know.
I mean, Ipswich is not Toowoomba as much as you'd like it to be. I mean, whilst it is Toowoomba and Jace, I mean, it's...
Oh, God.
I fucking was waiting for it, and there it is.
It always comes back to Toowoomba, doesn't it?
It fucking doesn't it, what?
Digger Town, which is the name that they changed it to after public sentiment started turning against them.
And a few people publicly fucked up when they were trying to pronounce it.
Yeah.
And it didn't take
it all
much,
got a little, and it, it all got a little and, hard.
Tell you what.
And it didn't take as much paint to change it, but just changed one letter.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though, it's good for fucking the economy. You know, capitalism reigns again in Toowoomba. They've started to let other brands of cheeses back in the supermarket after their favourite changed the name.
Oh, shout out to all of our Toowoomba listeners.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck them.
Look, I'll just let the record reflect. I tried.
Yeah, fuck them. Specifically, Shane Cash. And there's a new cunt on the fucking block by the name of Jason Wardle. Fuck him too.
Is he made of cashies?
No, he's not. He's made of brats. Apparently, well, his new goal in life, very successful man, I might add,
yeah.
And spent a fair bit of time with him over the weekend, very successful man. His number one goal in life currently is not to see his two lovely children through, you know, their great education or their sporting pursuits or to fucking go on a lovely holiday with his wife who's, fuck, he's punching above his weight. But anyway, his number one goal in life is to appear in or have his voice appear on this very podcast. And I said, not happening, cunt.
Well, do you know what that sounds like to me? We need to reintroduce the fucking dial-in segment.
Fucking hell. I could just imagine it. Anyway.
Although,
now,
can I say, just as a side note,
this is a side note to the 50th side note. Yeah, for sure.
People really do care about you, Glennie. People really do. I caught up with Wars on the weekend.
Yes.
And, you know, it's lovely that he still fucking gives us a listen through all his international adventures.
He's a fucking great man.
And he sort of in his own very special kind way checked in and he was like, you guys are
What's that other cunt's name again?
Well, no, you guys, you're only really joking when you're doing that to him, aren't you? And he's like, I know he signs up, and I know he probably enjoys it, but I just want to, like, how is he?
Fuck him.
And I would hope that your response was, fuck, am I supposed to know? Do I look like I give a shit?
He fucking cares. Yeah, exactly.
That is funny though too that someone like who's legitimately close to us could like even have like a seed of doubt in the back of their mind. What are people who don't know us at all in real life apart from what they hear?
It's
like
very
people who
convincing
don't
voice.
People hear our voice a couple of times a week, but they don't know us and you know the dynamic and everything. I mean, they must think we're just like the fucking cunts, and like Glenn is just the most abused fucking person.
Can you imagine how many times we've been called weak gutted dogs? And we don't even know it.
But they see the traffic lights or something, and they just hear, they hear something about it. Like, oh, these weak dogs. They're on the fucking Glennie again, the weak gutted dogs.
Or is it going full circle? Do they take the brakes off while they're sitting at the train? I can't do it anymore.
Well, they're taking like sympathy toaster baths or something like for Glennie.
I bath with Glenn.
Toasters,
no,
toasters,
trust
toasters
me.
In.
Doesn't matter how sorry you feel for me, you don't want to bathe with me, I can tell you.
Hashtag toasters in for Glennie.
Yeah. There's a mushroom in my toaster.
Hashtag fuck Clipsal.
Oh, fuck, how did we get here? How many games have we done? Two.
That's full time episode 485.
We're up to the Manly game.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the Manly point scoring, which is we had two conversions to Ruben Garrick and a couple of penalty goals to Ruben Garrick and a couple of tries to fucking the dead men. although in death, one of their names was Jason Saab. He probably did have his best fucking game best game he's ever had for the club.
Yeah.
And I mean, like last year, he did score like a large number of tries and stuff like that in the asterisk season where it was just touch football. But this was like everything that we've said this year about him. High balls, didn't miss. Strong carries back from kicks every time. Didn't get like ragdolled or anything. Like it was ridiculous. So at least, I guess at least fucking God has got behind one of them. Because let me tell you, the other, seven didn't play. I think, what, six played? Five played?
Yep.
Fucking four of them. Fuck. They, you know, they should have got aside from fucking, like, the three of them on the right-hand side of the field. Fuck, I mean, I think they angered their Lord. I mean, with their fucking behaviour, the way they played, because he fucking robbed them of their fucking footballing talent, and particularly in the realm of defence.
So God's a Space Jam fan.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I think God's just not a fan of homophobes, and he robbed them of their ability to tackle and read the fucking extremely deceptive runs of Sean Lane, because the difference in this game was frankly the fact that the same two players on the right hand side, the one on the furthest on the right and the one next to him, four times they fell for the exact same fucking run from Sean Lane, two of which resulted in tries, one of which resulted in a try that was called back for a forward pass. And one they shut down, like, you know, after the fact, or, you know, like cover shut down after the fact. And it's ridiculous, because I mean, this game, like, it's particularly in the, for probably the 40 to 50 minutes, it was a really good performance. And that was slow to get out of the blocks due to the aforementioned defensive issues on the right there. But they didn't get too far behind, because the Eels couldn't convert their tries. But got back in the game, got back in the lead, and it was really just it just became a matter of resilience, because we had the situation there where Morgan Harper was robbed from the bunker of a fair try, and then that disappointment immediately turned into Wunga Blake, of all people, scoring a fucking one of the most miraculous, like, put downs, you know, out of bounds and in the corner
that we've
seen. That was like to the naked eye, to everything, it looked like he would have been out. But then you looked at it, and just the absolute fucking, you know, millimeters involved, you know, with the ball position inside the line, with his feet and everything outside line. And I mean, and so it was just like that, and then followed by the Wunga Blake try. And then at that point, it's just kind of like just a matter of general resilience, where they just, you know, they just stopped competing, and then that was it. So, which is a shame. Like, it's probably the tale of the season, to be honest. I mean, apart from injuries and other fucking just weird bullshit going on, the third fucking pillar of the season has just been playing like fucking champions for 50 minutes and playing like shit for 30 and costing them games, and that's happened probably three or four times. And at the end of the season, when they do the debrief, that's going to be the fucking story. I mean, the Eels, for their part, I mean, they took advantage down the left-hand side. I mean, why wouldn't you fucking go to the same play? They played, you know, their forwards got the advantage particularly late, like in the last 20 minutes, as I thought. I was actually surprised it didn't happen earlier, because we were very under strength in the forwards, and I thought they'd just primarily direct it through there. But it didn't happen for him for a long, long time until the game was, you know, there in that sort of there to be won at the end there, and that was ultimately the difference. The thing is, offloads as well. I don't know why Parramatta don't offload more. Like, when they do, they're very difficult. They're very difficult to shut down, but it seems like they don't do it until, like, it's almost like they've got this mandate where they can't do it until the 60th minute or something. Like,
yeah.
It's just they, and when they start doing it, they always have success with it. But
you're right.
Yeah.
I was going to point out, though, that Sean Lane, and again, it was up against a, you know, sort of put together defensive line, but.
The defensive line was one that's played together a lot of fucking games except for last week. And the two players have played next to each other for the entire fucking season
Talking about in their head. I'm not sure how they're actually put together. But Sean Lane has come on. And he was, I think he was very heavily overrated in previous seasons.
When he played for like the Dogs or something, and then he got like a big deal straight away to go to the Warriors, I think.
That's it. But he's a player who, and I like when this happens, who sort of realised in his career that less is more. And he started to get a bit of the Cartwrights about him where it was, okay, I've got an offload. I can stick my head through and I've got these big fucking long arms and I can reach around people and pass. And the people I'm passing to are generally very fucking fast or very fucking strong. And it creates opportunities. But then he got into that, well, I'm just going to offload every play now.
Mm.
And I think pulling that back now has forced him to bring other facets into his game. So, well, if I can stick my head through, but the offload's not on, then a fast play, the ball's on. You know? Yep. Or if I can look like I'm going to dig into the line, but then I've got a nice little soft short pass, that's deceptive as well. But, yeah, I don't know if you then... You know, the whole Icarus thing. If you try and offload more,
well, no, I don't mean Sean Lane. I mean like some of their other guys.
Yeah,
like across the other side. That's where the success starts because they can all get an offload away.
Yep.
In a two-man tackle and just keep prolonging the play and it just wears teams down. And I just think that, you know, in important games like finals games, I think that sort of thing, you know, could be the difference between them, you know, winning and losing some of these games. So. Mm. It's something they should be doing more of, but off you go, Glenn. Are you going to say now?
No, I think in parts it was a reasonable contest. Para really only pushed away in that last sort of 15, like you say, you know, Manly played for 50 minutes or whatever. But I think they only really pushed away in the last not even 20 minutes, just slightly more than 15. But Ruben Garrick had a couple of moments at the back where he was beaten. And he didn't get a lot of help from the defensive line in front of him.
Yeah, he's been on one leg for a month.
Yeah.
Poor cunt. And I mean, just like playing just through no other options. But also, it's really fucking hard too when you got like five guys pouring through, fucking backing up on two guys on each side of the fucking guy with the ball as well.
The fact that his pace isn't quite where it typically is certainly made Gutho look a whole lot faster than I believe he really is. And commentators rode his fucking nuts pretty hard. But
he's one of those players like Callum Ponga where they just want to, they only need to get a little sniff.
Yeah.
Let's get a sniff of the nuts and they're back on for the ride.
one positive that I took away from Parra's performance is the fact that Dylan Brown really stepped up and you know, is looking like he's going to pick up a lot of the slack in Moses' absence.
The thing is, he has to try and carve out his pathway where he can do it when Moses is there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think games like this where Mitch Moses isn't is part of that process. Obviously, he's going to have to put it into practice when he comes back. But he's been a real shining light for Parra for the large part of this season. And it's good to I actually like him as a player and... he's actually a pretty solid human being as well, like some of the stuff he's done with charity, etc. And it's good to see him take full advantage of the opportunities that he's having as one of the focal points of Parra's attack.
Well, it's only getting better for him too, because I mean he'll be playing for New Zealand in the halves with Jerome Hughes most probably as well in the World Cup. So.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Socials on that one. Michael, it's the first two tries coming down DCE's side after he shoots out of the line. Coincidence? I think not.
Indeed. Well, I mean, considering it was over fucking one further over the other side where it all happened.
Yeah. Ben, he said, cool as HIA test is, recite Leviticus 19:19. He's safe.
Yeah, it must have been too, because I mean, these days you don't see people come back from HIAs that often. Don't. I mean, I don't know what the statistic is, but it feels more often. Maybe it's just fucking, you know, some sort of confirmation bias or whatever. But it feels like to me that when someone goes off for one of those, they're probably 2/3 of the time they're probably not coming back.
Yeah. I reckon that may be because now they're done by an independent doctor and not the club doctor. No, correlation isn't always causality, but
Well, I mean, like, are you going to try and convince me that clubs are going to leave players on, you know, to the detriment of their health for the purpose of winning football games?
No.
Next thing you'll be telling me they're businesses,
Daniel. Daniel, he said, you are hearing it less and less now. And then he followed up with, what odds would you get at the beginning of the year that the only host team to beat Para would be Real Dad? That's a fucking great one.
Yeah, that is a great
Jesus
one.
Jesus Christ.
Decent stat. I can get behind that.
When you put it like that.
What a fucking shit year.
There you go. Next game.
And what? But watch that! Watch these fucking Eels not even get to the grand final though.
No.
Despite that, but hey, you know, you beat our teams.
That's it.
Bully for you. The Rabbits 48 defeat the Warriors 10 up at Sunshine Coast. The Rabbits, okay, here's a list. A double to Latrell, Ilias, Cook, Totola, Kolomatangi, Johnson, and Thompson with tries. Latrell got 8 conversions. The Warriors 10 tries to Cozy and Sean Johnson. Sean Johnson 1 conversion. And I want to say Alex Johnson should have got a hat trick in this game too. But through, I mean, his own fucking selfishness at times. Like, he's got a real case. Like, he's starting to see these records fall over and stuff.
Yeah.
And that motherfucker's getting greedy. There was an outright fucking try that he bombed streaming down the left-hand touchline. He didn't quite have the pace to beat whoever it was coming across. And this is in the second half. He had 2 guys inside him to pass to on the right. And he bolted for the corner trying to... Yeah. When finals football comes up, motherfucker, you know, that conversion might be important. That try is important. That's, you know, you pass to the guy that can run it under the sticks untouched, mate.
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
I feel like this game epitomised South. Cam Murray and Cook were really active early on, and Cook threw the ruck, and the Warriors were willing participants in the fact that he was starting to carve them up. And Murray, off the back of that, with his short passing game, really got them and laid the platform for the contest with their consistent and class involvements. And then Latrell just come in and added his fucking brute strength and talent and polish. And in direct contrast to that, the game also epitomised the Warriors, who were rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second half of this game epitomised every other game this week, where teams that are supposed to be contenders have been fucking awful for large tracks of the fucking game.
Yeah.
And the second half, what was the fucking halftime score? I don't remember, but like after about the 50th minute, the Rabbitohs looked like, I mean, the Warriors, I was talking about that try that AJ bombed. The Warriors legitimately bombed like 4 tries in the second half that were like length of the field tries, where if they just had have thrown their pass, you know, the pass a bit earlier, taken a better option, this game could have easily ended up to being like 48 points to 30 or something.
Yeah, easily. 36-6 at halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wraps up fucking terrible. Like, possession in the second half, they're just ball security in the second half was horrible. And their defense was terrible. I mean, they only conceded that one extra try to the Warriors in the second half. But holy shit, the clean line breaks from 20 meters out from their own line that almost result, you know, they're cut down with 5 meters to go or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just ruined through poor options or whatever following that. It was fucking crazy. I mean, the scoreline actually flattered the Rabbitohs despite the fact that, you know, they clearly deserved to win.
Yeah.
They were never in danger of losing the game. But man, they got some shit to work on too.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they do. I don't know. Dominic, which I think, he's the staunchest warrior on here. Not even fucking Levius gets in there and commentates on all the games anymore. He's too busy getting yoked down the Gold Coast. Dominic, you said, for the amount of defence the Warriors have done this year, you'd think they'd be good at it. However, their kickoffs, wow, perfection. Greg, the Warriors obviously not prepared for any contact through the middle. One touch and they crumble. They're basically the World Trade Center of the NRL. Hayden said, and it's going to be a cricket score put on the Warriors. Think they're just looking forward to the end of year trip and anything at the moment. Shit defense, shit mentality, shit on attack. Shit go of a game from the Warriors. Fuck, not even the scaffolders want to claim them. Ouch. There you go.
Got scaffolders fucking stepping off.
Next large. Game. Next game.
The Panthers 26 defeated the Raiders 6 in Canberra. The Panthers 26 tries through Appy, Crichton, Dylan Edwards, and Salmon. Who is not a weak gutted dog, as previously stated from Ricky. Crichton, 4 conversions and a penalty goal. The Raiders tried 2 Papali'i and Fogarty with the conversion. And that was the start of the game, like where the Raiders were looking okay. But then Appy scored the easiest fucking try you've ever seen in your life to Absolutely. Answer about 4 minutes later. And that was that. All fight gone out of the Raiders.
Oh, fuck. I'll tell you, I didn't get to see this game. I was at a friend's 40th Saturday evening. And haven't had 80 minutes to spare to sit down and watch it. I do want to watch it later in the week.
Just watch the mini. I mean, it's not great.
Oh, look, you know, I was going to say I'm a glutton for punishment, but...
The great things about this game are the things that you can tell, you could tell just from looking at the scoreline anyway. You tell that the guys, the team, particularly Appy, stood up.
Yeah.
Under strength with, like, starting halves out of the side.
Yep.
And
yeah, that's it. This
is very unrated, like very unrecent Raiders ish.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders got in their own heads. There was a bit of chat in the lead up to the game about, you know, the ambush and all the fucking rest of it. And I think they had visions of making a real statement about where they are in comparison to the top teams such as the Panthers, even though they were on strength.
I'm not a military tactician either, but generally the idea of an ambush is you don't say there's going to be an ambush before the ambush is set to take place.
I feel like telling someone that you're going to ambush them is counterproductive to the process.
Yeah. I mean, it ceases to become an ambush at that point, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
So whilst Canberra did make a statement, I think they said way more about where they aren't than where they are. Yeah. So
the statement is that their season is over.
But here's the thing, though. That would have been something that was, you know, pre-prepared a couple of weeks ago or even a week ago before that current Panthers squad rolled into town, because that was the wrong fucking angle to take. It's not, oh, we've got an ambush prepared for these fucking arrogant Panthers. This is, you know, we're going to take this opportunity against an understrength side and really put our best foot forward and blah, 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 blah. That's what Penrith do. They show you who you truly are. And the Raiders scored first, and it was the longest fucking fade in the history of the NRL. Didn't even wait till the second half.
And I just wonder about the post-match comments from Ricky. I mean, like, they certainly took all 100% of the attention away from the actual game.
Yeah.
I'll give him that, but, I still don't think it helps them where look, you know, if much like Manly, I mean, if they win all of their games to the end of the season, then they're a chance of somebody stumbling and, you know, sneaking in, you know, Bradbury into eighth spot or something like that.
That's it.
But, you know, I just feel like this game has shattered them, that's it.
Yeah.
There you go. I don't know what their run's like going home. I mean, I know they got Manly.
Dylan Edwards? I can't wait to see him play. All I've been reading about is how he's a fucking Dally M winner.
He was outstanding. Yeah, and
let's be clear. Buzz Rothfield said he could potentially be I mean, he's not stacking points at the same rate as like someone like Nico Hines is. But despite that,
look, as I said,
Buzz Rothfield,
thing said by an idiot, does not make it any less true.
Yeah, but it's really hard to. I mean, until Dally M night, you can't really ascertain the truthfulness of that statement, and I think that you'll find that the very same Buzz Rothfield that you have railed against for probably 6 years now and dismissed every single thing that's come out of his mouth and invited him to come on the show so you could fucking anal fist him
Now I'm going to invite.
Now you want to give him the fucking.
Show,
now you want to give him the guck guck 3000.
Fuck me dead.
Oh no! I still fucking hate everything that guy stands for. Sorry, Glennie.
Except
you were
that.
Praising Dylan.
Look, I have to say, I've been a fairly vocal critic of Dylan Edwards, and I have been of the opinion that you can get at him if you kick to him often enough. I think he's worked hard on that area of his game where he, you know, by his own admission, had some errors in his game, but I was impressed. He played hurt.
Yep.
He rallied the defence, and he stood up as a leader, and he fucking pushed up through the middle. He was always there in support, even playing hurt. And, you know, you have to give a guy credit for the, you know, Canberra doesn't have a small pack either, and he was still right there in the middle whenever there was a quick play of the ball to work off the back of Appy's darts out of dummy half. And, you know, the chances of being hurt more by copping a short ball and then getting blindsided by one of those Canberra forwards is a very real prospect for him, and he didn't miss a beat. So you got to give the guy credit.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Perfect.
So the final word I say about Canberra is actually they surely can't be done for the season, because apart from the game against Manly they're going to lose, they're going to be playing the Dragons.
Don't worry,
they're going to be playing the Knights, and then I think they finish up against the Tigers. So they've got a solid fucking three wins. So if a bunch of teams capitulate, there is a slight chance for them.
Fuck yeah. Jason.
All right, socials.
Said Hudson Young has been learning from the Jack Whiten school. Always exciting, often unpredictable, rarely intelligent.
He's been fucking good for them over this last run. He's been better than like some of their more, like someone traditionally who's been a great performer with them, like Elliot Whitehead's been fucking, you know, he's been fading, you know, much like the trajectory of the club. Oof. And Hudson Young, I mean, he takes mana from fucking the goop that, you know, the around eyeballs and stuff like that, and he's converted into talent. So
he's the fucking Corinthian. Fucking hell. Funny you say that, because the next comment is Jake, who said Elliot Whitehead moves about as well as Alex McKinnon. I'm fucking dumbfounded how he gets picked every week, captain or not.
Oh, wow.
John, he said every week it's getting harder to make the eight. Is this the Raiders season? I hope not. Great second half either way. Terry said 6-0 up and the faders fade. The fucking arrogance go to their house, missing our three best players, and put on a clinic. Kevin said toughest game I've seen Penrith play in a long time. Side note, whoever at Fox decided to keep putting Vossie and Ennis together is a cunt. Nathan said suck my dick from the back, Ricky. John said the green machine never gave up. Valiant but had no answers. Penrith were faster, fitter and hit harder. Without their stars, humbled the Raiders. This was the game the Raiders needed to win. Hats off to Dylan the Wall Edwards. You're hearing it more and more. Australian rep jersey.
Fuck off.
Joe.
Yeah. Not my fullback.
It was funny. I saw like all
this
the
is
Dylan.
A Canberra fan. John's
I saw all the Dylan
fan.
Edwards stuff, and then I saw Teddy's stats for the Roosters game, and they were like fucking double everything. And I'll go, you look at Edwards on in a vacuum. You go, fucking, he had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
And then you look at Teddy, like literally doubled everything.
Do you know the stat that Teddy will forever beat Edwards in?
Racism.
Racism. And so just for that, he's not my Australian fullback.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Dylan Edwards is under the radar. We don't know what kind of slurs he's dropping. But we will. Now he's on fucking Phil Rothfield's radar.
Man, he lives in Penrith. You're too scared to slur out there. You got to ask everyone what they are. Joe said, I'd argue that Ricky's team, who were playing at home for their season against a second grade Panthers team and still lost by 20, are in fact the weak gutted Dogs. Hashtag,
hard to argue.
More of a Morty than a Rick. That's it. Shanta, he said, I don't know about the weak gut, but Salmon got that dog in him.
Oh, fuck.
And Nathan, different Nathan, not you. He said, I would like to publicly apologise to anyone who I may have made cry when I was 12. you know, just in case their parents are in a position of authority and influence and now want to call me out on it.
I look forward to chatting about that more, and it should be well and truly wrapped up for the Wednesday episode.
That's it.
Sharks 24 defeat the Dragons 18 at Reclaim Australia Stadium. The Sharks 24 through tries to Hines, Trindle, Wilton and Graham. Four conversions from as many attempts to Nico Hines. The Dragons 18 tries to DeBellin, Monga and Finai with two conversions, sorry, to Zach Lomax and a penalty goal. Once again, continuing the incomplete game week, incomplete week, incomplete round, whatever you want to call it.
It definitely was. I think Cronulla...
Sharks look lethal.
They shot out of the blocks. And the Dragons, to their credit, they stuck with them just enough and then started to turn things around and came at the Sharks. And Cronulla looked shaky.
When they conceded that one try when they had the Sims in the sin bin.
Mm.
But like in that first half, they fucking hung in there pretty well.
Yeah.
The Dragons.
And I feel like I don't really understand the Dragons. I wouldn't say the Dragons are typically adept at stripping teams for numbers out wide, but fuck me, they were just cutting the Sharks to shreds there at one point. And just seemed to be on the outside of guys regularly, but I guess the Sharks hung on and Nico Hines had another good game. It was good to see Wade Graham get a try. I think he's going to be important for them come finals time with his experience and his leadership. It's good to see him starting to contribute more and more. And I think the Sharks probably won't do much more than take the win and probably dust themselves off and realise that they are a lot better than what they showed in this game, and they're going to have to be.
Yep. I would agree. I don't know. I don't have a lot more. You've covered it off perfectly, Glennie.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
And again, another fucking side that's going into the finals. I just cannot put 80 minutes together.
Yeah.
What's going to happen in finals?
So I think it'll be a good final season.
I think they'll reset. Richard, he said, Sharks v Dragons derbies really disappoint, yet this one did. Sharks got a lead. The Dragons really look like breaking it down. Hines and Nakora were standouts for the Sharks. Seeing a third-generation Dykes debut for the Sharks was nice. He showed some glimpses early as to why he got his chance. For the Dragons, Hunt played almost alone hands. Sims, Sinbin aside, was really solid. Bird and DeBellin had some effort plays, but the Dragons are about as creative as the Days of Our Lives scriptwriters. Fuck. How they've won 9 games is a mystery. And the other comment here sums it up. Again, I was at a 40th, and Chris said, admin sent to the bin for putting up the game thread over an hour after the game is over. So, yes. I went to post
now,
it.
What about
what the fuck are you doing with a life? Fuck, be dead. Just fucking get that shit loaded.
Now, what about the sin bin for Sims? Should have been binned? Sufficient? Should have been sent off?
I think I've seen them sent, and as we all have, I think it was forceful. And there was contact with the head. Typically, that's it's up to the.
Didn't they say there was? It's 2 out of 3. Contact with the head, forceful, and late. They're the 3 parameters they judge them on now.
Yeah.
And 2 out of the
late. Yeah.
Oh well, no. So if you've passed the ball,
if you've got 2 out of those 3.
Yeah. Two out of those 3. So forceful and late should be enough. Now that's to go to the bin though, not to get sent off.
Yeah. Okay.
So. I don't know.
Like, it definitely was to the head, and it was definitely forceful. I mean, it was aided and abetted, I think, though, by the Sharks player was definitely falling into it, and he wasn't swinging his arm upwards or going for a big. He was going for like a solid hit, but his arm was so low, he was going to wrap. You know, it was like he was going for heavy contact, wrap the ball, and the guy sort of falling into a position where he sort of got him with his bicep or whatever.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that's that ends his Dragons career because he's taken the plea, so he's gone for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah,
and he shall resume his career. Storm, Storms, my mistake.
Yeah, there you go.
So we move to Sunday and Bundaberg, where the North Queensland Cowboys 28 defeated the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs 14, and the Cowboys a double to Scott Drinkwater. Luciano Leilua, Chad Townsend, and Griffin Neem also with tries. Val, 3 conversions and a penalty goal. The Doggies, 14. Tries, 2. Who else? The Fox, Burton, Flanagan, and Burton, 1 conversion.
Down 10-0 after 30 minutes. The Cowboys showed some composure to work themselves back into the game and ended up with full control of the contest. And a lot of that was, you know, Leilua had a real impact on the game and did some great things. And Drinkwater, who I believe is developing a real knack for coming up with clutch plays for the Cowboys, he's done it time and time again this season. And he was instrumental in the Cowboys, A, getting their way back into the game, but then pulling away. For the Bulldogs, young Karaz is a real positive for them. I think you can see him growing in confidence with more time in first grade and more games under his belt. He's a real talent and just seems to be one of those guys that is around the ball. When he's around the ball, good things happen, and it's good to have, for the Bulldogs at least, it's good for them to have another potential point of attack in the coming seasons rather than just relying on Burton and the Fox every fucking...
Yep.
Every play. So, I think the Cowboys, again, they won't be fucking telling their grandkids about this performance, but it's important win nonetheless.
Yeah, and it was one of it's the story. I mean, all the revival of the Bulldogs has been great in terms of attack, but even in games where they've been in front, we see the same thing after about 60 minutes is when they either take their foot off the gas when they're putting it to the side, or if they're chasing in the case with the Cowboys. I mean, they got ahead, you know, just after half time, or probably what, 10 minutes after half time.
Yep.
But then after that, it got to the point where once the Cowboys got back ahead, they went back to back pretty quickly to sort of give themselves a little bit of breathing space past the converted try margin.
Yep.
And then after that, they just went on with it, and the Dogs never had a sniff again.
Yeah, that's it. Socials on that one. Joshua. He said, what a fucking turnaround for this club. Nate was so on the money. What the fuck was Trent doing week in, week out as coach? Vindicated for your hatred of...
I would like to officially... I am going to pull out those files. I'm going to bundle them up into some permanent storage and take them to my permanent agenda storage facility. I feel like I no longer need the documentation.
The Smithsonian of agendas.
This matter has been officially closed, and we are going to free up our filing cabinet for the next agenda, whatever that may be.
I will say, though, they could, and I've said it before on the show, like, why is Mick Potter not really being talked about as a long-term proposition as coach?
The fucking disrespect, because I mean, how good he's got him going at the moment. Then you know, you add like a, you know, you got like Marnie coming in there, and then you've got, you know, Kikau coming in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure
he's no nonsense, and he's not a high profile, but you can't argue with how quickly he turned them around from where they were under Barrett. Barrett walks like leaves, or is pushed.
Although,
and then he comes in.
Here's his thing though. Like I've seen situations where teams have had a manager, and fuck me, don't get me started on managers, but they have a manager, and the manager's demanding things being done a certain way, and then the manager leaves, and the new person comes in and just gives a tiny little bit of freedom, right? So now all of a sudden, there's this little bit of freedom for the people to behave and work and be day in, day out, more of how they would do things if they were in charge. So it's not necessarily that the new leader's come in and is amazing or has offered anything new themselves.
I think the Bulldogs just needed someone that wasn't Trent. But
how many times did they run a fucking Burton for Fox kick across field on the third tackle under Barrett? How many times? You know, and I don't think Mick Potter's
that often, really.
I'm not sure Mick Potter's there and he's gone, oh, have I got the fucking play for you, cunts? but he's allowing them to that little bit of play autonomy what they and see. Freedom. Mm-hmm. Maybe that they know that's not a long term option. Anything else you want to add on this one?
Nah.
Lovely. John said perhaps a contributing factor as to why the Cowboys are getting better than going better than expected this year. They'll play all 12 of their designated home games at Townsville. Warriors at Redcliffe, Parrot at Darwin, Tigers at Suncorp, Bulldogs at Bundy, you could argue are Cowboy home games. They will only have to travel south of Queensland 6 times this year.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly, you certainly could argue it's a Cowboy home game. Of course it is. I mean, yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, because the Cowboys will take anything fucking north of like Gympie.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah.
It's a fucking lot closer to Townsville than it is to fucking Bankstown.
And let me put it out there, though. That's because the amount of work the Cowboys as a club do, there's very little spoken about the actual fucking geography that club sends people to.
Mm.
They do a lot of fucking work with remote kids and a lot of kids in Indigenous communities, and that was championed by JT.
Mm. Yeah.
When he was at the club, but also now that he's got, you know, some clout there and say up high. I think they deserve for those things to be fucking home games.
Yeah.
So Toowoomba's a fucking hole. They're going to have some advantages. Jordan.
Toowoomba or Townsville?
Townsville.
Townsville.
Both.
Yeah.
I agree on both.
Yeah, Toowoomba's a place where the St. George Illawarra Dragons take a home game.
Jordan. All hail Scott Bongwater. Couldn't get a run for the first 4 games. And turns his fortunes around. Also, Nanai is 19. How much of a player will he be if he keeps his trajectory? Yeah, fucking certainly will.
Oh, fucking, what about with just another, I'll say one, but imagine him with 2 full off seasons under his belt.
Yeah, I know.
That footwork, that speed, that explosiveness, and an extra fucking 10 kilos of raw fucking...
Jesus Christ.
And the thing is,
the fuck out of here.
He has all those great athletic attributes, but he also has that ability to find himself in the right place at the right time as well.
Well, it's more it's the fucking want.
Yeah, you've got to want to be around the ball.
It's that, oh yeah, exactly. I'm going to be where the fucking action is. Mm. Oh, is there a ball in the air? I'm fucking jumping for that. It's Jason said it was an expected loss today, especially when it's 12th versus 2nd, and at the end of the day, it was 5 tries to 3. The stats, mind you, tell you the Dogs should have lost by more. They had 45% possession, 60% completion rate, ran 600 metres less, and had over 30 missed tackles. Those numbers there tell me this is still a long way to go to be competitive week in, week out. Still, we are on the improve, unlike other teams who are, let's say, on the decline. Nice. Liam, that was like watching a boxing match between Stephen Hawke. Oh, hang on, don't worry. On to the next game. That was a Tigers one. Whoops.
Yeah, and yeah, 100% correct.
I've not.
Yeah,
I don't even know the rest of it, but I agree wholeheartedly.
The Newcastle Knights 14 defeated the West Tigers 10 at Campbelltown, and the Knights, their 14, came through a double to Inari Tuala. Tex Hoy with a try, Clifford 1 conversion from 3 attempts, making it close. The Tigers, their tries came through Brent Naden and Asu Kapaa. Dewey 1 conversion from 2 attempts. Now, patrons, you'll find in your feed a game companion member side where myself and Glennie spoke about this game as we watched it live in the second half. So if you feel if you are feeling I don't know, like self-loathing or
cutting your own dick off didn't do it for you, listen
fire
to
up fire up the KO, get to the second half and wait for us to tell you where to sink it, and you can listen to two men experiencing unfathomable levels of suffering and obligation. Glennie, you do it. You talk about this, please.
Look, what a pack of cunts. Who played another pack of cunts who just happened to score more points on the day. Tigers playing at Campbelltown, and quite often, as is the case, they've played like absolute fucking bastards. And, you know, it does nothing for the black and white blowhards fucking still trying to hang on to the Magpies and you know, raise their fucking pickets on the hill and all the rest of it, to say that we're a, you know, a true joint venture coming out and fucking putting our best foot forward whenever we take the field, because whenever we play at Campbelltown, we play like absolute fucking rubbish.
The 99 Magpies.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be just, you know, a real tip of the cap, but no one realises it, and they just realised how poor we are. We miss Jacko badly. I thought Jock Madden tried his best.
Sorry, Nate. Can you just give the explanation you gave in the group chat as to why Jacko's so important to the Tigers?
I expect it's the same thing what I said to Glennie yesterday, but it's he touches it 50 times a half, let's say 45, 50 times a half.
Yep.
And the benefit of Hastings, we've said that he touches it so often, but he doesn't really do a lot with it. Like, he's not like massively over the top in terms of like try assists and that sort of thing. You know, and like, you know, busts and whatever, line break assists, but he got 50 touches a half. And so his true value is that in games where he plays and gets 50 touches a half, that's 50 touches that don't have to be distributed evenly amongst the other 16 spastics
Frittatas.
in the West Tigers side. And because let me tell you,
I did not disagree with that.
A solid Jackson analysis. Hastings touch, even if he goes to ground with ball in hand, is 1,000 times better than one of these ones where, like, you know, someone drops it or passes it into someone's head or whatever the fuck.
Over the sideline, yeah, or that's fucking it. Whatever.
Yeah.
No, from the moment Newcastle kicked in behind Ken Mamalo, who took the field with what looked like a bionic knee that, rather than being surgically inserted, had just been put on with tape, and he couldn't turn. Well, I think he was still turning as Juala put the ball down. Newcastle came with a siege mentality given the week they'd had and a lot of the press, with O'Brien copping a fair bit of stick and stories of unrest amongst the playing group and all the rest of it. And having said all that, they were still well and truly there to be beaten as that game wore on, and the Tigers were just not fucking good enough at the end of the day. That's, you know, they had an opportunity there to actually steal it at the death, and they ruled with Dewey tapping the kick to Dano to score, and they ruled a knock-on, and don't hate it. It's probably a 50-50, but they had more than enough ball and more than enough opportunities to win the game and fuck them all up. So Newcastle weren't great, but they were slightly better than the Tigers, and that was that.
Yeah, the Tigers played 20 minutes, maybe, but yeah, 25 minutes of this game.
10.
Most probably, yeah, 10, you reckon?
10.
I'm going to be generous and say 20 to 25 minutes a game. And they... Well,
fuck, if you want to, you need to go back and watch that again. And do it to yourself.
I'd rather not. I'd rather not. I mean, if it's a choice between that and just agreeing with you, okay, fine, 10.
Righto.
Okay.
Glad you'd see things my way.
But in that period of time, I mean, they certainly had, you know, more than enough opportunities. Like, the thing, like, a lot of things angered me about this game. But, I mean, you can distill this game down to that fucking last minute of the game where the Tigers had one play.
Yeah.
Left, and they start, like, the ball was played probably 3 meters out, and they swing it left. They probably, like, the ball's played, like, probably around the left goalpost from memory, and so they spin it out to the left where there's two fucking players and there was about eight Knights defenders, whereas the entirety of the West Tigers team was over on the right, probably stretched out. I don't care to go back and watch and see, but I wonder if they were stretched out into a great deep back line ready for a simple catch and pass to go over in the corner and fucking tie the game up. But, oh my God, if you went out to that game, I salute you. Tigers fans, if you trekked out to Campbelltown to watch that game, I salute you.
Newcastle fans, Big Dan was out there.
Big Dan.
And look, he
fucking, well, he got the win. He would have enjoyed in some level. There's some enjoyment in that.
But he also fucking very much deserves to sit on the hill and watch that absolute fucking 80 minutes of tripe dished up by two sides that are fucking rubbish. But he's had a tough week as a Knights fan, so he would have been walking out of Campbelltown smiling.
Oh yeah, massive. I mean, the kind of smile that I would imagine greeted U.S. Marines when they were liberating people from the death camps in Poland and Germany, like that kind of smile, like the people who have, you know,
seen some shit.
They've seen some shit.
They've endured some stuff. They've
endured unimaginable horrors, and they're probably skinny because like the food's no good out there at the ground. And yeah, that's the image that I would like to leave people. They've
got dysentery from the pies sold.
Oh,
fuck me.
Socials, please. Let us forget. This is the worst fucking game of the year.
Fuck off, cunt.
This is worse than the Titans game.
The Tigers have been involved. It's worse than the Titans.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, but the Titans versus the Tigers, that one, that's definitely one.
Yeah.
This is one. What's the other one? They're the two that stick out.
Tigers.
Definitely top two.
Tigers Sharks was bad. Fuck.
Anyway.
What was the other one?
Liam. He said, that was like watching a boxing match between Stephen Hawking and Christopher Reeve. It's also why I wasn't upset about the Cowboys game. We would have just wasted those 2 points anyway. Let someone who appreciates nice things have them. Jared, he said, I fully blame Glenn for this performance. Gronking off in the preview ep.
Yeah.
Ross.
Got it in my game.
I don't know what to do with myself after we win. I had my rant, refs faulting, already written. Isaac, he said, with some luck, we come away with a win. Luckily, we were playing the Tigers, and the Tiger will Tiger. Nick, he said, the Knights beat the Tigers, who beat Para, who beat Penrith. If only the NRL was a meritocracy.
3 degrees of separation. The Tigers should have lost fucking 3 games in 2 seasons.
There you go.
So, round 21. In the books.
Done.
And that concludes episode 485. As always, thanks to new listeners. Thank you for the new people in the Facebook group. And there's quite an influx today because Stepdad, I noticed, did put a post up there on our Facebook page to say, hey, no action here. All the action's in the group, which did spur some more signups, which was great to see. So welcome to the group, those people. If you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, go to Facebook. Search for the group hashtag Twill Nation, or go to our page This Week in League, and you'll see there'll be links over there for you to get in there. And jump in the Facebook group and get amongst it. If you'd like to support the show, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/This Week in League. Extra episodes, merch drops, and more. Check your tier. It's fucking great. And there's a back catalogue of over 100 hours of content.
Do we need to rename a tier? Already. One tier, porridge. So it's the tier of porridge.
Yeah, well, you think of the inclusions and the way to say. I mean, like, you know,
how easy is it to post a Snaplock bag?
I was going to say. Although that reminds me, after we stopped recording, I had a special request from someone, one of the members. So that we will, because we do serve our members, we will absolutely grant them their request. And so look out for that. Fuck, if you made a special request, look out for that over the coming weeks as the merch starts to come in from the mid-year drops.
Well done.
Anything else, fellas, that we would like to discuss before we pull the pin on this one?
Nope. No, I'm done.
All right, on that note then. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys again in a couple of days.
That you will.
Fuck me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.